Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Marriage is a conservative value. Equality is a conservative value. People that love one another, that wish to form a stable bond, a part of our economy, a part of our community, that should be a conservative value. And as the Prime Minister of Great Britain said, I'm not for gay marriage despite the fact I'm a conservative. I'm for gay marriage because I'm a conservative.
That's former Solicitor General Ted Olson on Face the Nation, making the case that same-sex marriage is a conservative value. Now, that's a new one. I guess his math goes something like this, and you heard it for yourself, marriage plus equality, both of those in and of themselves being conservative values, generally speaking. You put them together, you got marriage equality. That's a kind of code nowadays for same-sex marriage. And for all that flies under the banner of same-sex marriage, is he right? How do you respond to that? Of course, Ted Olson is now also spearheading, legally, the opposition to Prop 9, the federal opposition to Prop 9 in California, that which would have banned same-sex marriage in that western state. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start out with a brief conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, talking about whether or not same-sex marriage is a conservative value. After that, we'll remember Esther, Old Testament heroine. Whole book is devoted to her story. It's a rather interesting story. Pastor Brent McGuire will be our guest. And then Dr. Bill Weinrich will join us in the last few minutes to remember late 7th century, early 8th century theologian Bede the Venerable, who wrote a history, a church history of the English people. He was considered to be the last of the early church fathers, and we'll find out why in about 45 minutes here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Ted Olson says, and I know you've been paying a lot of attention to Ted Olson as you've tracked Prop 9 and the California course there. Ted Olson says that marriage is a conservative value, equality is a conservative value, put them together, and same-sex marriage is a conservative value. What do you make of Ted Olson's definition of conservative value?
Well, Ted Olson is a deeply confused man. You know, I mean, marriage is a natural institution. The mother, the father, and the child have a unique relationship, which I think the whole society is bound in justice to relate to support and identify and acknowledge. You know, the whole society has a duty and justice to rally around the mother, the father, and the baby. And in fact, the mother, father, baby definition of marriage, of the family, that is the only definition of marriage that keeps the government out of the household. As soon as you start tampering with the definition of marriage and start bringing in third parties, so to speak, or bring in parties that that don't have even the possibility of procreation, you bring the government into defining relationships that are really none of the government's business. And to treat a same-sex union as if it were the same as an opposite-sex union is for the government to go in and redefine something that is natural and that will have no stability or depth of its own, only what the state gives it. So as I think he's 100% wrong, that, and I believe that the redefining marriage to include same-sex couples will expand the total power of the state. And I've said so in print many times. I just think the man's lost his mind.
So, well, Olson is trying to say it is, and obviously saying something is doesn't make it so. But do you think that rhetoric will have the intended effect. That is to say to people who probably – who would be neither here nor there on the issue, but because they consider themselves generally conservative, they haven't come up with a good reason to support same-sex marriage. Do you think he's giving them a reason to support same-sex marriage?
Well, I think that's obviously the intent here. The intent is to give people a reason to support the redefinition of marriage, to give them language that will allow them to do it, and to say it's a conservative value is really to distort the meaning of conservative and to distort the meaning of marriage. Those are precisely the words that need to be defined and discussed, not simply assumed away. See, he's doing by assumption what really should be done by argument. And elsewhere in that interview, they talk about the analogy with race and interracial marriage, and that completely fails. You know, he talks about Loving versus Virginia. Race has nothing to do with the essential public purposes of marriage. The essential public purpose of marriage is to attach mothers and fathers to their children and to one another. That's the public's interest in marriage in the first place. And the fact is, Mr. and Mrs. Loving, as an interracial couple, absolutely could participate in the procreative purpose of marriage. That's what the racists were worried about. They were worried about these little mixed-race children running around. It was an anti-miscegenation statute. So it's for sure that Mr. and Mrs. Loving could participate in the procreative purpose of marriage. So that case shows the strength of our position, not the strength of the other guy's position, because it shows that race is completely irrelevant to the purposes of marriage, while gender is absolutely crucial to the purposes of marriage. And that's why that analogy completely fails. And that I think, Tony Perkins there on that Meet the Press interview did not do as good a job as he should have in defeating that point. I think that equality point is a very important point that we have to win, and I hope that your listeners will, you know, review what I'm saying here so that they can say it themselves when the time comes when somebody says, well, this is just like interracial marriage. No, it has nothing to do with interracial marriage. Mr. and Mrs. Loving absolutely could participate in the procreative purposes of marriage, which, in fact, are the public purposes of marriage.
Now, one of the things that Ted Olson also did while trying to make the correlation between interracial marriage and same-sex marriage was kind of, and this happens a lot nowadays, kind of invoking this future when we will all look back on this and laugh kind of a thing. You know, I'm hoping someday we'll all look back on this and say, how could we have possibly not allowed same-sex marriage couples? Kind of invoking this indefinite future when we're all, not just him, but all of us, including people like you and me, are more enlightened and have calmed down and can look back on all of this and laugh.
Two things about that. First of all, I think 30 years from now, when the disruption to the normal course of procreation has run its full force, you know, when we are, when we're bringing children into being through all kinds of artificial means and commercial means, that prospect, that is changing the face of our society in ways that are not good. And as those children come of age, as we continue to do it, and I don't see any impulse by anybody to put the brakes on the whole IVF industry and the whole, you know, sort of consumerization of childbirth. I don't see anybody putting the brakes on it. And same-sex couples and their demands for equality are going to be pushing that, pushing. I think 30 years from now, the children who have been brought into being as a result of that and the kinds of things that have happened to our society, the kind of coarsening of society that has happened, on the contrary, the proponents of the redefinition of marriage and the further commercialization of childbirth, they are the ones who are going to be embarrassed. They are the ones who are going to be looking around, looking for the exits, trying to pretend that it had nothing to do with them, it wasn't really their fault. The fact is, Todd, you and I and your Issues Etc. listeners are the ones who are paying attention to the interests of children, the long-run interests of children, and saying we're doing something here that we ought not to be doing, and their interests matter, their interests count, and we're sticking up for the future of children. So that right there, I am not the slightest bit worried about the judgment of history on me. The second thing I want to say about this, Todd, because this march of history argument bothers me a lot. You know what it really is, Todd? You know what it really is? What they're really saying is, stop thinking, stop using your judgment, just shut up and follow the crowd, because the crowd is moving towards nirvana, and you need to just follow along. This is manipulation of mob psychology. That is exactly what it is. They're trying to make people stop thinking and simply blindly follow the crowd. And I think that is always a dangerous thing to be doing. You should not be manipulating people with this kind of peer pressure the way that people are doing. That is a very dangerous, very ugly thing for people to be doing.
Jen, before we let you go, we've got about a minute here. Tell us a little bit about this summer's It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference.
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Todd. We're putting on a big conference out here in San Diego, It Takes a Family to Raise a Village traditionally has always been for college students, but this year we're going to have the possibility for people of all ages to participate in the conference. And so what we do at this event is we look at marriage from all different disciplinary angles. So we'll have a lawyer and a doctor and social science people, a couple of different social science people. We'll have marriage activists. We'll have historians. You know, we're going to have a whole range of people to look at marriage in the deepest possible way so that we can get past this whole soundbite mentality and look at marriage for what it really is, to try to understand what it does within society, why it's so important that we understand it, defend it, and strengthen it wherever we can. So we're inviting young people to apply for what we call the Emerging Leaders Program, and then we're inviting people of all ages to apply for the Ruth Institute Ambassadors Program, which will be taking place at the end of July here in San Diego.
Folks, you can find out more about It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference. It's July the 26th through the 29th in La Mesa, California. That's outside of San Diego. At our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to think about and remember Old Testament heroine Esther. Pastor Brent McGuire will be our guest.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.